A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by them. And the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. We have here, both in the parable and in the concluding more or less moral that the parable exemplifies, an example in the teaching of Jesus of what sometimes is called the great reversal. Here it is: the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Sometimes it's the last will be first, or we find it even in various other forms, the turnabout, the change of what we might expect, how Jesus turns the tables on us and forces us to think about our value. The one who seeks the first place will be the last. The question we have to ask ourselves is, well, it's really true. It sounds so consistent, of course, with the teaching of Jesus, but in fact, in our experience, in reality, isn't it often true that those who exalt themselves remain exalted, even if perhaps talked about behind their backs, he remains the first place? And how often really is it in this life that the last becomes first? Is this simply an eschatological kind of thing, and something for which we wait toward the end time? Come the day of judgment, that's when the tables get turned. There is the great line in the Psalms, and it's popular in contemporary liturgical music: God hears the cry of the poor. And I remember on one occasion when we sang that song in our own Dominican community, a missionary sister from Honduras was present, and during the shared reflection, she said, "If only it were true, if only it were true," how often it is not the case. We might like to believe God hears the cry of the poor, but the poor continue to suffer. The poor continue to end up in the last place. The poor end up not being in any way exalted or even granted justice so often in this world, as sometimes. Is it something that we desire ourselves, so that this is seen as a desirable goal, an ideal, even if so often it doesn't happen, that the last become first and the first are put down? If we say it's desirable, what does it say about our own selves and our self-understanding? Because most of us practice the faith, at least in those countries in which Catholicism finds itself more within the middle class, is it that we really want the tables to get turned. In a sense, is saying, I have come, Bach 10, to set reality on its head, that up will be down and down will be. God intends to turn things upside down. And when that happens, it leaves us feeling quite uncomfortable, if we're honest with ourselves. Rather than looking at this parable and thinking, yes, Jesus, right on, Jesus, there you are. You've been invited to a home of some of the leading Pharisees, and you're speaking truth to power, and you're telling it like it is. But if we speak the truth to ourselves, how comfortable am I with the suggestion that perhaps my own world, my own world view might get turned on its head? That what I think might not be the right way to think. Those values which I hold most dear, maybe those aren't the most significant values in the world. In other words, this last line that seems to summarize the message of the parable isn't simply there a saying, a proverb-type thing, similar to so much of the proverbial wisdom we do find in the teaching of Jesus, certainly in the Old Testament, but rather it's more like a koan in the Zen tradition, or a kind of paradox that is intended to lead us into some self-reflection, and not to think about, oh, them, they'll get their comeuppance, or, oh, them, this will solve once and for all that gap between the rich and the poor. Not even intended for us to think about the poor and whether their cry will be heard and whether justice will be done. The intent is to make us stop and think about my own life and whether it needs to be turned upside down, whether there's something in my own praxis of the faith, my own so-called gospel way of life, that needs a second look. It seems to me that what Jesus is saying is, I have come to disturb you. I did not intend to leave you comfortable. For indeed, unless you become uncomfortable, you cannot be comforted with the words of the gospel. For indeed, maybe another way of putting it is, the one who finds comfort in these words will be left uncomfortable. And it's only those who are discomforted who in the end can come to know the comfort that I have come to offer. And so it's hard to say we've heard the message if we leave the text or the preaching feeling at comfort with ourselves.